Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The cyber station, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is cyber station, USA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Everyone, and welcome to the Beach Lifestyle Radio Show on the Simply G Radio Network. Again, go to simplyg.com to check out more information on GJ Reynolds, the playful and powerful warrior, or you can go to my website, TotalTutor.net, Twitter, TotalTutor Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. And I'm so excited first to introduce my co-host, GJ Reynolds, because we have a big-time guest today, don't we, GJ?
Very much so, Neil, and I'm excited to be interviewing him. And when I say his name, everybody will know exactly who he is. And he's definitely the epitome of anti-aging, and he's aged very well. And he's been known to be in many, many movies and television shows. And I was actually just watching Doc Hollywood, and I saw him playing the doctor out in Hollywood, in Beverly Hills. So you probably remember that role. But, you know, without further ado, he's done a lot of great things, and he's one heck of a person. And please welcome to our show, George Hamilton. How are you doing, George?
I'm all right. I mean, I like the idea that I've aged well. I really know what that's like. So like being in Benihana's or Ruth Chris Steakhouse, don't you think? He aged well.
Well, GJ has aged well as well, and we'll see where G is going to be at your age, George. GJ is 32 with 20 years experience, right, GJ? And he's in the best shape of his life, so he sees how important looking great, especially the part, and he shares his time in L.A. So, George, you know that drill. You gotta look the part in L.A., don't you?
Well, I guess so, but, you know, I've always felt the one thing that I have that I've used as my secret weapon is that I didn't think I was the best actor, and I may not be the one to get the job, but if I live long enough, I may win by default.
Well, you'll have the opportunities at every different acting gig possible. You know, you've played from a young guy all the way to up to a senior citizen. So
industry. If you just keep in the game.
Exactly, and stay the course that GJ says in his book all the time. Well, first of all, question, George, did you always want to be an actor? I mean, we're going really way back, but that question, has this been always the entertainment field's what you wanted to be in?
No, I didn't want to be an actor. I didn't have any desire to be an actor, but my whole family did. And I kind of saw that was the prize they wanted in the family, and I thought, well, it must be important if they want it. And then when I got to high school, I just took a class in theater arts because it seemed easier than doing math. And I went to the state capital in Florida where I was going to school at the time, and I competed and won the competition. So next year I thought, well, I have one more subject before I get out of school to have to learn because I was one credit behind. I thought, I'll just go out to California and get that out of my system, then come back, go to school. Well, came out and I got into movies, and I didn't have any idea what I was doing, but I never went back to school, and I never had to take math again.
And it's very interesting, as I'll tell GJ about this in a lot of ways, that a lot of actors I've interviewed, a lot of athletes I've interviewed, GJ, that play at a high level, they perform at a high level, G, they end up not wanting to do this when they're kids. Isn't that interesting, G?
Well, I was thinking the exact same thing. A lot of them, they get into it because they want to. They see it as an easier path, and like you said, versus physical work or some subject in school. And then there's also because a lot of the actresses were ladies, and they were saying, "Hey, that's if that's where the girls are going to be, that's where I'm going to go." So I've seen that.
Well, I think that works for a little while. You know, that works for your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. But when you get up into the 70s, you really have to like this game because it's a hard game. And I think that's the way it is in anybody's work. I think the trick is to love what you do. And then you'll do anything for it. You know, you'll stay up as late as you have to do. You get up as early as you have to. Whatever it needs. I didn't really want to do any of it. I just didn't want to embarrass myself. And I was working with pretty good people. And I was in all the people I was with, Robert Mitchum. I mean, I never knew when he was asleep or awake. I just knew the words were coming at him. And sometimes he'd say, "I know the words, but I'm just too drunk to say them." So I just loved being in this business. You met the most incredible people. And it was never dull. And it was like you said about flying, it's hours of boredom interrupted by moments of sheer panic. Getting ready for it and getting your wardrobe and your makeup and blah, blah, blah. All that stuff is kind of boring when you do that a few thousand times. But the actual climbing in the saddle and going for it, another game.
Quite interesting. And I think that's so important in a lot of ways. When did you know this was going to be your career? Right after that big award that you saw and then you moved to Hollywood, is that when you said, "Hey, I don't have to go back to school again. I'm going to just stick to this"?
You know, it's like you get in the plane and you start flying and then you look down and you're past point of no return. That's when you know that's what you do. Because if you don't, that's all you do. You got to make a decision real quick. After you've spent your bullet there, what you gonna do? And I started out with, well, what's the big deal here? And then I had a backpack, and I thought the worst they can do is fire me, and I go home. And every time I thought I was gonna go home, there'd be another picture or another location or somewhere. And the years just went on by, and I thought, boy, this is like a never-ending, you know, holiday. But the problem is, you have to have the temperament to not know where your next job is coming from. If you have that, you have a homeless attitude, you can do very well because you're not trying to get anybody to commit to anything. You're just trying to commit to the lines yourself. That's about it. And I just found it. I looked down and I looked at the speedometer and I thought, damn, I've spent 30 years at this now at that time. And now it's over 50-something, maybe close to 60. I can't believe it. And it's... people don't have any idea until they're in whatever it is they're in that that's all they're going to do. They better be damn good at it. You better take a night course or whatever you do in the day because you're going to be doing it for a long time. If you hate it, well, that's just the worst way to go. And, you know, guys like Jack Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, I mean, he didn't want to be president. He wasn't thinking of that. He was probably thinking about girls or something, but his brother was supposed to be president. Sometimes it's the easier ride, the guy with the smile on his face and looks up and says, "Well, doesn't everyone?" It's one thing to be totally dedicated to what you do and keep your, you know, foot down and going for it. But there's a light touch to success, and that is, I can take it or I can leave it. It isn't going to break me. It isn't going to make me. It's just fun, and this is what I do. You attract in life very much what you give out. And if you want something, you pretty well have to almost have the attitude you've got it already. Now, that's kind of a strange thing to say, but I've often needed something, and it would be the last thing I'd indicate to whomever I was going to get it from.
What do you think of that, G? What George just said?
Well, George has said a lot of great things, and, you know, being an entrepreneur, I love each of those those messages that you just said, you know, and one that, backing up a little bit, is, you know, having that homeless mindset. And one of the things that I've always thought of is, okay, what's the worst case here? Okay, here's where I was before I started. Well, here's where I'm at. What's the worst case? Okay, go back to where I started. And it sounds like that's, you know, a great, you know, great way of living life, whether you're acting or in business. And you've been able to do that. And I spent a lot of time in L.A. and Hollywood and got some acting friends and musicians. And you definitely have to have a special temperament to stay the course. And you've done a great job doing that. And I know you've played a lot of roles, and a lot of them come to mind, you know, and when I was looking at all the roles that you played, I was just like, yeah, I remember that one. So do you have a favorite role that you actually played, you know, in all the years that you've been in Hollywood?
Well, the thing is that I got kind of typecast right away. I was this guy that thought, you know, like, you know, yachts and good-looking girls, and I don't know how they got that attitude, but they did. And so I kind of played into that. I thought, well, why not? And it's a pretty easy habit to support. I didn't want any drugs. I just wanted cars and girls. So they were happy to allow me to do that in movies and write scripts for it and what have you. But I it wasn't enough. And I started trying to do things that were beyond my scope, you know. I played as a faith healer in a movie, and then next thing I knew, I was playing Evel Knievel, and then Hank Williams and Moss Hart and Zorro and Dracula. I mean, I think most people think, you know, that I'm kind of one dimensional, but I don't think they really put all those people together. If anything, I've got a lot of split personalities, but I'm not one dimensional. I just play a one dimensional character when I play me, because I took me out one day. I just went upstairs and saw the wardrobe department in the gym and thought, God, that suit's good looking. They said, well, that's Cary Grant's suit. I said, oh, wow. And then I felt the suit and looked at it, and I said, that's the suit I want, because it makes you look important. It makes you look good. And the minute I got the suit on, I had to tip. And the minute I had to tip, I'd charge more money, and the studio paid me more. It's just the way life goes. So whatever it is you want, go for it, because life will support your habit. It's ready to do it. You've got to be able to want to believe in yourself and believe you can do it. You can't back off and say, oh, I don't know, because it goes by too fast. You know, just ride that wave and see where it goes.
Completely agree, George. I think that since I been in the entertainment field versus a professional wrestler, now back in radio, you got to ride that ride. And where you see you're going to end up, no one knows. And I 4 years I'll be in radio, George, in December. And I started out just education. Never thought I'd get to talk to people like you. And I've learned the craft from interviewing so many different people. And I just think that at one point I saw that I am a brand, that I am somebody that provides great information for great guests and to interview them in different ways. When did you know that you were a brand, and how did it evolve over time, especially to where you are today?
Well, knowing when you're a brand is when people see it en masse, and television gets that to you faster, because if you have a little some idiosyncrasy about you, something about you that can be mimicked or people can copy, you become, and you do that in television, but television was not what I was doing. I was doing it in movies, and I was moving around in movies. So for a long time, the only thing I was thought of is, well, I know he's on the beach, and he's in that picture where the boys are, and he's got a tan, and that's just what they got me for. So I was starting to become a brand of those kind of, you know, kid movies in those days that were Spring Vacation. But that all changes, and you change your brand several times in your life, or if you don't get out of the rut, you just keep making more of it. But they really need something. You need something that people can peg you with. It's a world where there's so much competition. It's not bad to be pegged with that, but you got to have the goods when you get on, when you get the job to go.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
One, two, three,
perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio. The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Beyond that. And I think a lot of people figure, okay, I'm a failure. Well, failure is one of the best things in the world because it's the only time you get a lesson. You don't get lessons from success. You get lessons from failure. And the more failures you have, it gives you a track of what to do, what not to do, and how, and depending on how determined you are to be successful, you'll get at it again. And when you do, you won't fail that next time. It's just the way life is. And for me, I've been upside down, out and in and over and under, and it's made me laugh that people look at it as a failure. I mean, it's a failure if you don't co-create your success. You have to get out of bed first. You have to go and do something. It doesn't matter even if it's wrong, but do something. Don't sit there and hope that it comes to you. You attract it by the energy you put out, and that's just the way it is. And I think anybody who's been an alcoholic or a drug addict will know that one. I haven't been, but I've known a lot of them. And they all realize that they just got to put that one foot in front of the other. Even when you think you're down and out, it's all over. You cannot imagine how the deal of those cards can change you in a second. I've waited many times thinking, give me a sign, any kind of sign, except loser. I just don't want that sign. Give me any sign that I'm going to pull out of. And all of a sudden, bam, I pulled to an inside straight. And it's amazing. I'm overwhelmed by how great life is and how you should not have any sense of failure or any sense of fear about it, because it is all good for you. And we learn by it. Even the worst of things make us into people we would never know.
It's amazing, GJ, how much George reminds me of you. And GJ has a lot of your qualities as an entrepreneur. He sees his brand in his certain ways. He never gives up, always stays the course. He's had his ups and downs to the success he's been able to attain as well, GJ. Isn't that correct?
Well, yes, and I was just thinking about exactly everything George is saying. I said I'm in so much alignment, and you know, I look at every failure as definitely what you just said, a lesson to learn from. And the only time I see anybody actually truly fails is if they never choose to get up. And obviously, and through life, you know, we're always going to have different ups and downs, and it's what you do when you're down. And I look at the hardest times of my life and probably the worst times of my life, and times I definitely, I'm glad that they're behind me, have been the catalyst of what's turned out to be the next best thing for me and the next best learning experience. And I've been able to draw upon that. And then, you know, a lot of times I see people who are struggling that, you know, they feel like they're the only one in the world that's at that point. And I see when somebody shares those,
those tough times and are vulnerable and sharing that, how much of a catalyst that can be to help other people. And that's sort of what I've done. And I always see that you've done. Go ahead.
That's right. No, you made. You finish, please.
Well, you're the star of the show.
Well, it doesn't matter. I can come back.
and we look forward to that.
But here's the thing. The thing is, I think that little roommate we have in our heads, whoever that guy is that lives up in our heads and says you can't make it, this is going to be bad, or you shouldn't do that, that's the real enemy, because that's the guy that we invent or co-invent so many stupid things that we think are going to happen to us that never happen to us. And you get to a point where you feel like, oh, God, I don't know if I can get through this. Get through what? Nothing's happened. It's all in your mind. So many people come out with a negative way of looking at life or fear of something bad's going to happen, albeit maybe from their childhood or other things. That's what you got to stop doing. You got to shut that guy down and say, yes, we can, and I'm going to do it, and I'll get it done. Because just with that attitude and that shift, all the tools you need come along.
George, I can see why you stayed the course. That's why you're still acting and you're still working more than some kids that are 18 years old. So when we get back, we're going to find out the latest projects of George Hamilton. Again, we could talk to him for hours and we only get two segments with him, but we hope to have him back on another time to promote something else. But you're listening to the Beach Lifestyle Radio Show on the Simply G Media Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Beach Lifestyle Radio Show on the Simply G Media Network. Again, you can go to simplyg.com. That's simplyg.com. And check out all the information on G.J. Reynolds, the Playful and Powerful Warrior. And you can purchase his book and learn about all the cool things he's doing. And we're with celebrity George Hamilton. And I'm just telling you, George, I would have an interview alone just talking about your next roles and all your cool things that are going on. But it was very interesting what G said off air that G should share for our audience out there, because ultimately what you're able to share today, George, is something that GJ hears all the time, don't you, G, from one of your mentors?
Right. Well, as I shared off air, you know, Coach Del Brown has shared with me many times, you know, a lot of the things that George is sharing here, and it's just refreshing to hear the life's messages and the messages that George has shared today, and there's been a handful of them, are applicable in one's life, regardless of what your career is, what your endeavor is, or what your education is, and where you're at in life. And, you know, so George, it's just been refreshing, and I'm glad I got a bunch of goosebumps today, and it's been a very enjoyable interview. So, you know, let's get back to, you know, some of the things that you're doing, and, you know, and you got free reign to elaborate as much as you want. You know, obviously, you're still working and doing some great things, and we know you just filmed a CVS commercial, and, you know, why don't you tell us a little bit about that, and when's that going to air, and where people can find information about it?
CVS commercial's on air now with Nick Cunney and Joan Rivers and I, and I just finished two movies, which are, one is I play a fellow who has Alzheimer's and thinks he's Dean Martin. It's just a wonderful, wonderful role. And it's fun, and it's not, it's sad, but not sad. It's, you get a laugh with it, and you get a chill with it. So then I played a corrupt senator with Treat Williams in another movie that just finished, and, I'm doing two different documentaries, two movies. One was called Blue Skies, and the other one's called Catatunk. And why they call it Catatunk Blues, I don't know, just to make it difficult. But the two documentaries, I'm doing one about Sean Flynn, who was Errol Flynn's son, who disappeared in Vietnam years ago, and who was a combat photographer. And the other is about Evel Knievel. And I made the movie about Evel, produced it, and played Evel. And this is a documentary about Evel Knievel. So that sort of keeps me busy, and I'm working on a major TV show, which I'll know in maybe 3-4 days whether I'll be on TV next year. And if I am, I'll be on a series, and it'll be a very interesting role. The thing about all of that is that I worked for things, and then I let them go, and I let them tell me what's best, and in the order they should come to me, not because I think they should be, because again, going back to the universe, it knows it's here to support us. You didn't put a tree here and expect it to change place to live, and it's got all the nutrients and things it needs. You have everything in nature to support nature. The problem is we keep ruining it and messing it up. So I started realizing that most of the diseases, you asked me earlier, what did I want to do when I started out, or did I always want to be an actor? No, I wanted to be a doctor. My whole family were doctors. But when I started to realize that medicine was getting handicapped by education because they were really not allowing them to know more than what was in those few books that they had, and that we are really divinely supported. And I say divinely because there's got to be a power bigger than us. Otherwise, all this, they said, we would have been born with doctors as our twins, we would have been ourselves doctors, but we wouldn't have had to have doctors. And the doctors now are thinking perhaps that what they learned in school is going to get us healthy. No, most of the time it helps, but most of the times it's toxic. What we have in our food supply today is just disastrous. What we don't have is even worse. So what we get is no nutrition. We get what we get micronutrients from carbohydrates and proteins and such, fats, but we don't get what we really need, which are micronutrients. Those are the things that are alive, and those are the things that curb your appetite and feed what it is you essentially need.
And GJ speaks of that all the time, especially by getting in the best shape of his life. He was out of shape, and his book soon will be coming out about his story, because, George, what he was able to do was he challenged Dale Brown to see how many consecutive days he could work out, and he was the only person ever to beat Coach Brown. How many days did you work out? Have you worked out consecutively, GJ?
Well, I worked out exactly 610 straight days. We did 2 miles a day, and then I gave myself a day off. I still did the 2 miles, and I still do 2 miles every single day, and I just went over 750-some days and counting, and my goal is to get to 1,000, and then when I get to 1,000, then I'll reevaluate what the next goal is, and so I just keep chugging away, and I just know the day that I quit doing it that I can easily fall back, and, you know, it's just staying the course. And a lot of what your message has been today is, you know, definitely staying the course. And when you have challenges, get up and learn from what you're able to learn and move forward. And you're a true testament of that. And I'm motivated to go get my 2 miles done. As soon as we hang up and this interview, I'm going to go do my 2 miles.
Well, you know, it's strange, but everybody says, well, I can't work out, I've got the time. You don't have to work out all day. You just have to work out every day.
Absolutely.
I know people overdo it, and you can see it in their faces. I mean, they're overdone it, so the body's just robbed all this nutrition from them because you see a lot of women that just spend most of the days on treadmills and stuff, and it's not all that great for them. It's a question of balance in your life. What do you do, TJ, in your program? I mean, you're obviously working here. Your brain's using power and calories to do, but what do you do to regenerate? I know that you'll get endorphins from your running and feeling good on that, but what do you really know that when you get feeling sort of run down, what do you do?
Well, I'd say there's three aspects to what I do. One is obviously exercise, and I exercise, you know, definitely 30 minutes to an hour, and usually it's an hour. And one of the things I found out, you know, I'm 52 years old. I say I'm 32 because I feel like I'm 32. And I'm on a sprinting program, and I actually train like athletes, and it's like, who would have ever thought? And I never would have thought. And my body just really likes it, and it's in a good environment where it's not hard on my knees or ankles. And then I actually have a health and wellness company. We have a 90-day health challenge, and we've got some great products, and I use those products. I've changed my diet over time to a very good diet, and everything you said about where our food is and where it is and where it isn't is exactly right. So I've modified my own personal diet. And then also, you know, I listen to my body, and I know when I need to rest, and I know rest and recharge is important to you know, operate at a high performance level. And so those were the
Well, I think you made a great point there in the sprinting. I think people thought for a long time that endurance was the way to go. And you can see a lot of people who are long distance runners, they don't have much muscle tone. They can be pretty traumatized by their distance. The thing about it, when you sprint, you use maximum and then back off. Maximum, and that's what
we have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined. Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
The exercise for the heart is about is to get it so that in cases of problems, the heart can withstand it, and I think there's programs like PACE and all these different programs which you sprint, and that's what I'm just getting into now at this point. I've had some injuries over the years. I'm 74, and so I ran on cement 5 miles a day every day, and that did not help me. My back got punished from it. My knee got punished. Then when I backed off of that, and I started sprinting and doing all my vitamins and stretching. Stretching is so important. I think a lot of people think when you're young, you don't think about stretching. My generation didn't. But, my God, when you get older and you –
Yeah.
Let's talk about inflammation. That's our biggest problem. Is that inflammation is a precursor of heart disease as well as cancer, and the mixture of things that you eat can cause, if you got old injuries, especially people who are warriors and have had a few injuries, you can get osteoarthritis when you get older. Right. So you have to. You have to balance your diet to get off of those acidic things that create that environment of inflammation to continue on exercising, or you can't, or you just rust out and you can't exercise. So it's a tempering as you get older of keeping a certain program and at the same time rest. And that's where you get a few good gray hairs to tell you which to do, which don't to do. And then you take your macronutrients and your micronutrients. The micronutrients, the things that are missing in our soil, that's what is so important for people to understand. That's why I make the point of drinking youth infusion, because it's just a simple no-brainer. You put it in your water and you down it, and that's all you need. I used to take handfuls of pills, and I just thought, I can't take any more vitamin pills. It's starting to mess me up. The digestive stuff and the coatings and the binders on all that stuff, So I just have it now in a very simple form. I go out and I do my stretching as I get out of bed. I do an old-time exercise. I don't know if you know it, ever heard of it. Old-timers would know it. It was the Canadian exercise. Do you remember those, the Canadian Air Force exercises? Ever hear of them?
I'm not sure exactly what it is. I'm sure I've probably seen it. I'm not sure by name.
Well, it was an exercise they used, the Canadian Air Force used. It was 11 minutes. That was it. And you ran in place. You did squats. You did push-ups. You did all sorts of bends and to do it all in 11 minutes. Well, I thought nobody can do it in 11 minutes. It didn't work. Well, you know what? I did it before I got out of bed. I mean, I just put my feet on the floor, and I do it every day. It becomes a habit. So having to do that, I feel great because, as you know, you get that first shot of an endorphin, and that's the beginning of it.
Exactly.
That's like having if you don't have that, you mope around, and next thing you find yourself back in bed and then watching a TV show or something. The minute I have to go into the bathroom to take my shower, I do that before, and I feel great. Then I start realizing that everything I put in my body is going to make me feel good or bad today. And you know, anabolic and catabolic state of food, I'm sure you know what that is. The anabolic is the food you take in, and then you start the catabolic, you start to use it for your supply. Well, when you start to take it in, if it's good stuff or bad stuff, you feel okay. But if it starts to perform badly for you, then you get that sense of depression and fatigue. If you get the kind of food that I get, which I'm sure you do now, you have a sense of lightness about it, not heaviness, and your body's not telling you, I'm hungry, because the more minerals you have, the less hungry you have.
Absolutely, George. Well, we are running out of time, but I got two questions for you. One, what we say on this on the Beach Lifestyle Radio Show is, what is your 90-day challenge? What do you want to accomplish in your life, either in your health, your business, and the next 90 days? And lastly, where we can find information on you? Those two questions.
Okay, well, it's interesting. I don't have a website. I have a website where I have my drink, youth, infusion, which is you can go to www.drink, like drink. I always use the word like drink youth infusion, and you can go to that site and you can see me. But my own personal site, I find that Facebook and all those places I run from a little bit, because they kind of triangulate you and they know where you are all the time. So I don't really like that. I don't know if you guys like it, but I don't like it. I don't like to go somewhere and find out someone who knows I'm coming.
Well, I tell you, it was a blast, George. Love to have you back on, especially when you hear about the big announcement. And love to have you guys trade ideas to live, especially after 50, to be in the best shape of your lives, both of you, and continue to be so energetic. And I see 50-year-olds, George, that are GJ's age, that look like they're close to the grave. And you guys are a testament.
Right. Yeah.
You're
that's
a testament.
Right. You have to have a passion for everything, even what you put in your mouth and what you do in your life. The passion, and it's body, mind, and spirit. And if you just give in and acquiesce to all the problems and think, oh, my God, something bad's going to happen to me again today, you will get that. If, on the other hand, say, I don't know what's going to happen, but I will handle it.
Exactly.
Life will just part the ways for you.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for calling, George. We'll definitely have you back on, and best of luck. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show, powered by the Simply G Media Network Celebrity Segment and also Author's Corner. And, I mean, anytime I get an opportunity to talk history and sports, and we think about the Green Bay Packers, even though the fact is this is Pittsburgh town, but we're syndicated all over the world, but my flagship station and my heart belongs to the Steelers. I am really excited to welcome the program Leroy Butler, four-time Pro Bowler, NFL 1990s All-Decade Team, Super Bowl champion, and much, much more, and author of Packers Pride, Green Bay Greats Share Their Favorite Memories. Leroy, thanks for calling, man.
Hey, my pleasure.
Absolutely. It's got to be just an amazing thing to be asked to write this book, honestly, because think about, I mean, all the great Packer greats and the tradition. It's probably, and I hate to say this as a Pittsburgh fan, but the greatest sports team probably in the world, that meaning that the Packer pride is just unbelievable.
That's the thing, to understand the Packer pride, putting that vote together. Although the Steelers have more Super Bowls than any team, and the Green Bay Packers have more championships, so there's a good fight for the top who had the best fans. But putting this book together gave me a chance to be a football geek. I get a chance to tell my football stories and keep it pretty much 100% football. So, you know, and in talking to some of the players, who being Rob Rice, who was a co-author of this book, we talked to 50, 60 other players, and they got a chance to tell some of their great stories. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, absolutely. Let's go with your greatest memories, first of all, because, again, I never knew this, but I had a feeling that you started the Lambeau Leap. So that's got to be one big thing there. That's a huge memory of yours when you came up with that. So tell us a story about that. I know our listeners are interested.
Absolutely. I mean, the Lambeau Leap shows true love of your fans. In 1993, we're playing the Raiders. I called the former Red Dwight, picked it up, and as he's getting tackled by Steve Wisniewski, we caught eye contact, and he was falling. He lateraled me the football, and I'm running down the sideline, and I just wanted to do something, you know, fun. And I pointed to this one guy, I told him I was going to jump in the stands, and the thing that was funny about it, the guy had a beer in his hand, and he had to throw the beer away. When I jumped up, and he grabbed me, he said, "Hey, man, you owe me a beer." Ever since then, I knew I've arrived in Wisconsin, a Florida African-American from the deep south, playing in Wisconsin in the cold weather, and that's what it's all about, loving our fans.
Absolutely, and then after that, other players took suit when you did the Lambeau Leap, right? Who else on your team said, "I'm going to start doing it as well"?
You know, it kind of took off, and the fans did a huge like a big naming rights thing. We voted on it. What do you want to call what Leroy just did? And everybody said, "Let's call it the Lambeau Leap." It was done in Lambeau Stadium. And, you know, we had all kinds of names out there, but the fans voted on it, and that's what we stuck with. And there was, now you see other players jumping in the stands, hugging their fans, and the fans have absolutely loved it.
So you were that's so interesting, and that's something that will always be that stamp for the Green Bay Packers. And I'm sure that's one of the reasons they considered you writing the book, because, again, the new tradition of the Green Bay Packers, the tradition of Super Bowl championships and the winning tradition coming back to Green Bay, because you had some years where it was just championship after championship, and there was a lot of lean years too, Leroy, weren't there?
Absolutely, you know, and that's a good thing about it. You know, in the late 60s, winning the first two Super Bowls and winning a lot of championships, you know, before then. But after, you know, the 70s and the 80s and the, you know, early 90s, well, you're right, some lean years. I remember going to the playing Carolina, going to the Super Bowl in 96-97 season. I saw a sign that said, 30 years of misery has ended. We're going back to the Super Bowl. And it dawned on me when the last time the Green Bay Packers were in the Super Bowl, you know, 30 years. So it felt good to championship trophy at home.
Exactly, and it was always just the cool uniforms. You know, and it's kind of like that Midwest team, and it's never going to happen again. And then you guys resurge to the point now of different things. So let's talk about some of the players you interviewed, and one I'm going to talk about my favorites, if you don't mind, because I have some favorites.
Of the
Packers. One is Sterling Sharp. So I was a fan of his, because I was a huge fan of Shannon, because I'm a Bronco fan as well. So tell me specifically what his memories of Lambeau Field was.
One thing I'm going to say about Sterling, maybe Mark Chamberlain may disagree with this. Sterling Sharp had the best physique of anybody to ever play in a Green Bay Packer uniform. He was cut and ripped up. He was a specimen at wide receiver like you've never seen. And I don't think you'll ever see a guy other than Calvin Johnson that was big and physical the way he played. I mean, he was an imposing figure, and he was just a great guy to be around. And he was one of the favorites because all he wants to do is make plays. And I think he has some of the best hands. I'm hoping he gets a chance to get into the Hall of Fame. But that guy, I'm telling you what, he was a looked like Lee Haney, one of these muscle-bound guys at wide receiver.
Huh. Absolutely, and that's interesting. His brother, again, another specimen of himself, and Shannon. So yeah, so that
definitely,
absolutely. Now another big one, and I guess we thought, you know, you never have another great quarterback like Bart Starr and Brett Favre, and now you're seeing Aaron Rodgers as a monster as well. So it's pretty interesting. But what was Brett when you got the chance to talk to Brett? What was his favorite memories?
I'll make this real quick. In the book, I talk about Brett Favre being the best teammate in the entire league. But not only that, I think he's the best teammate in all of sports. One thing that he did, he came into the locker room being traded from Atlanta. He got to know everybody. He went in. There was some African-American guys playing a card game called Spades. And then you go down a little further, you see some of the white guys playing backgammon. And you see some old guys with camouflage on getting ready to go.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio. The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Hunting. I talk about hunting. Then you got guys playing country music. Then you got some of the younger guys playing video games. All of that going on in the locker room. Brett networked his way around and got to know everybody. And that's why I say he's the best teammate. He didn't wait for people to come meet him. He was very proactive when he met everybody. That's why all his teammates love him.
Interesting. And again, leaders, quarterbacks have to have that relationship with their players. If they want to be, protected, especially with their offensive linemen, but also provide that opportunity as leadership. Because Brett had tremendous leadership, didn't he?
Well, no question about it. If you go back and look at the Oakland game, you know, his dad passed away. I mean, the receivers made catches you never seen before. And I'm going to tell you, so I'll be very honest with you. Because I played with him, you know, for like 8 or 9 years. If I knew number four was sitting up, I know two things had to happen. First, I knew we had a chance of winning. Second, I got to step my game up. That elevated me. It's almost like playing with Michael Jordan or golfing in a foursome with Tiger Woods. You elevate your game when you're around guys who step their game up. And Brett was that kind of guy.
Well, absolutely. And he, again, he was a hard worker that, you know, never quit. And you just remember all the time, even when he's getting beat up, he just kept getting back up. He didn't say, hey, I'm going to go ahead and take myself out of this game. He just kept playing and playing and playing really hard till the rest. I mean, he's somebody, he reminds me of what Bradshaw was, somebody that, you know, he just kept going. It didn't matter what happened. He was there. And that's truly what Brett was.
And I think that's most important. You look about somebody like Terry Bradshaw, who won four championships. When they talk about all-time greats, quarterback, they don't bring Terry Bradshaw's name up. But if you think about all the games that he was in, he won them all. If you think about the all-time winning quarterback, you know, Brett Favre, although he only won one championship, he has more records than anybody. So, you know, I was just fortunate enough to be with a guy like that. And I think it was important in the Packer Pride book, any Packer fan out there listening, or just a football fan, I think you'll enjoy the stories in Packer Pride, how we take our team very seriously, religiously, and not to mention we are owned by the fans. So we absolutely love that.
Oh, I understand that. So tell us, I guess, I'm sure you mentioned that in the book for people that aren't Packer fans, about that you're owned by the fans. That makes things different. Does it make it different being in an organization owned by the fans?
Yeah, I think the fans, for the most part, they see us every day. We're a part of them. They see the stock certificate, and people see it on their walls, and they tweet pictures of it and stuff like that. Oh, we sign it, and I think for the most part, that's what we love about it. And that's why I think naming it Packer Pride was red spot on. And actually, on the back of the book, Aaron Rodgers is doing the Lambeau Leap, and you see some of the fans in there. And even on the front, obviously, you got me doing the Lambeau Leap, and the fans are all incorporated.
Well, absolutely, and to see the tradition and then go and to talk about Bart Starr in this book and Paul Hornung and talk about Forrest Gregg,
yeah,
and all these different people that you're, and Willie Davis and all these Packer greats, you're not just talking about the beginning, you're talking about all of it. You're not saying, okay, we really highlighted the time you played. It's all of the Packers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think the different eras is what people really like, you know. That's, you know, from the 60s, 70s, we cover players all over.
We're talking to Leroy Butler, author of Packers Pride, and I'm just enjoying the conversation with them. And I just tell you, you just remind me of the tradition that the Pittsburgh Steelers, when you talk to a former Steeler that's a Super Bowl champion, you feel that, again, that aura about that person. I feel the same way talking to you today, Leroy, that I feel that you just have that, you know, that you have that Packer pride. You have green and yellow in your blood. Am I right about that?
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Our fans, we love our fans. They love us. We go to some of the picnics. I think we talk to some of the, we get everything from bar mitzvahs, we're invited to charity events, and we just absolutely love our fans. And matter of fact, I'm at an event right now that we're doing a book signing, and the fans are coming in, and we just love the way we interact with the fans. So much. It's just a lot of love. Win, lose, or draw. Matter of fact, it's a story that we talk about in there. 1995, we lost to the Rams. And I was telling Rob Rice, it was 35,000 people chanting, go, Pack, go. So I'm thinking, most teams, after you lose, they go home. But here, the fans, they absolutely love you, win, lose, or draw. And that's why 2010, when the Steelers played the Green Bay Packers, that was the number one historical event in all of sports. For you to think about how much tradition,
yes,
was at that stadium in Dallas. It's unbelievable. We still talk about it.
Absolutely. And then you guys shocked the world by beating the Steelers, because I consider it shocked the world. We were all expecting another Super Bowl championship. So,
hey, listen, Ben Roethlisberger doesn't lose a lot of games, okay? So trust me, we feel good about that. Anytime Big Ben is put in a position when Super Bowls, you know, he usually wins, so we're very fortunate.
So one other question, because I know you have to get to an event, and I appreciate you taking the time again on the Total Education Celebrity Show, Author's Corner. The question I wanted to ask that really is, I guess, the whole process of writing this book and everything. It just must be feel great when it's finished, because again, you probably never had such a large project like this, and to put it all together, and now to see all the Packer fans so motivated to read the book, it must be make you feel really great.
It really does. And I think, you know, in working with Rob, you know, he was just a pleasure to work with. And when we do the book signings and meeting some fans and they tell us some of their stories, I think that's what we really love about it.
Absolutely. And the stories and the story, and then stories about you as well, for sure. And all these different things. So where can our listeners, especially internationally and all over the world that are listening to this program, can purchase the book and learn more about you, Leroy? Where can they find the book and find information on you?
Yeah, they can find information on the book anywhere the books are sold. Obviously, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, anywhere books are sold, anywhere it's all over. You can find Packer Pride, and that's a good thing about it. You can go online. You can go to triumphbooks.com and get it sent right to your home. Matter of fact, you can also go out and get signed copies sent right to your house if you order the next week or so.
Well, absolutely. Well, fantastic. It was great talking to you, and best of luck with the book. And I understand also you are involved with a lot of different things in the Green Bay area with charity and all that stuff. So best of luck. Do you have a foundation that you promote as well, Leroy, that you're involved in?
Well, we're doing a very good we're starting an anti-bullying campaign called Butler Versus Bullying, Be Friends, Not Enemies. We just started that. You can go to LeroyButlerINC.com for more information. For more information about that.
All right. Well, I hope our listeners are able to do that. And Leroy, enjoy the book signing, enjoy promoting the book, and getting out and meeting all these great Packer fans. So thanks again for calling, man.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed the interview.
I it was a lot of fun. Thanks again. Take care. Okay. Bye-bye. All right. You're listening to the Total Education Celebrity Show, Author's Corner, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook on the Simply G Media Network. You can go to SimplyGMedia.com to listen to all the shows and find out a lot of cool information. And I'm really excited. What I'm trying to do, I've been having tons of NFL players. The other sports, you know, it seems like reality stars, different people, but the NBA is a little harder. But I think that this guy really is going to be an interesting guy to talk to, especially what he's trying to do with Rebound Magazine. So I want to welcome the program, former NBA star Matt Fish. Matt, thanks for calling.
Hey, well, thank you so much. I appreciate you saying star.
Hey, you know, anyone that has a career, you can't last in the NBA unless you're a good player, for sure. You got to admit that. If you have a long career compared to the average career of an NBA player, and some of them that, you know, consider them the greatest players all in college, and they get to the pros and they can't last. So you at least found your niche there, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I tell you, it doesn't hurt being 6'11 and left-handed and a go-getter. So,
and it has to be, because a lot of times I've talked to different players that you gotta take that role when you get to the NBA. You might have been a big superstar in college, and then you have to change the way you play for that team and hopefully stay with that team for a certain amount of time, so that you constantly need more than just five players to be a successful NBA team.
Well, there's no doubt about it. This world needs role players, and I definitely knew my role as a player.
Okay, so let's talk about it, Matt. Being 6'11", did you always think you wanted to be an NBA player when you grew up, when you were a kid?
No, not at all. Actually, I came from small-town Iowa, Washington, Iowa, a town of 6,000 in southeastern Iowa. And, you know, back in the 80s, we did everything. You know, you went out for all the sports, and you went out for all the different events that you could do. And so I was in chorus and choir and band and High Fives, which was a singing group. And I had 10 years of piano lessons under my belt. I grew up to be about 6'8", and the people around me seeing me carry the great big tri-toms and the marching band was like, why aren't you going out for basketball? So between my junior and senior year in high school, a buddy of mine who was playing varsity basketball as a freshman talked me into going to a camp. So I went out to Northern Kentucky University to a five-star blue-chip camp and played basketball. I guess I played well enough to start receiving a few letters of you know, interest in playing basketball at the next level. And I, it wasn't anything too fantastic, but heck, I just filled them all out and sent them all back.
And the difference is at 6'11" at that time when you were playing, there weren't many 6'11", 6'9" type players. And it's interesting that you didn't have a background in basketball to be able to do this. And so you must have been pretty coordinated then, or did you develop the coordination? Because I'm 6'10", and I made the mistake of never really getting as coordinated until I became a professional wrestler. So I didn't have a great huge college career, lasted 1 year, but that you must have had some good role models that said, hey, you got that body, let's teach you how to play.
And that's what it is. You can't teach somebody to be so tall. I fill out all that information, send it back, and 10 days later they gave me a phone call from University of North Carolina, Wilmington, saying they're offering me a full-ride scholarship. And I'm like, in what? And they're like, basketball. And I'm like, well, okay. So I come from a place where there's oceans of corn. So I go down there to Wilmington, which is really 2 miles from the ocean. They put me right on the beach, and there's an actually true ocean. So I'm like, what do I find? So I signed a Division I scholarship before I ever started a varsity game in high school.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.